I've gotten to a point in my life right now where, like, I'm not in it for the sex. I'm in it for the stuff after. I'm in it for the cuddling, the talking, the intimacy of it all, right? Sex is the gateway to the intimacy, and it's the fastest one there. Because you could have an intimate friendship. You could really get to know somebody, but that takes time. That takes energy. That takes multiple whatever. Sex, you could be like, are we doing this right now?
I mean, you can do that. Not all the dudes can do. I can just barely do that.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Shout out to all the fan whores, the whore heads. What's up, all you pod sluts, Billy babes, and members of the cult of the chuckle fuckers? This is Billy Presida, and you're listening to the Man Whore Podcast. Hey, 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 welcome to the show, coming to you from a basement in New Jersey. Hey. In my mom's basement, where like about 9 years ago, I actually had splayed out on a beer pong table all of like this gear I bought for a silly podcast I had in mind. Fun to be down here as I'm taking a couple days, clear my head, play with the babies. And I'm excited to be chatting with you on yet another Wednesday. This week on the podcast, I've got on comedian Drexton Clemens. You may have seen him at the last Naked Comedy Show. You may have briefly heard about him on last week's episode with Rachel Green. Or you may have seen him on Amazon Prime on his daily sports talk show, Game Breakers. Hilarious dude, having a very real conversation with us today. Gonna share that with y'all in just a bit. Couple dudes getting vulnerable, opening up, talking about how we suck and we just want to try to do a little bit better. Man, this is the type of conversations my rundown, this comes later, but just, I really enjoyed chatting with Drex. Hacienda, oh fuck, I got hired to MC a wet t-shirt and wet trunks contest at Hacienda's spring break party over the weekend. That was dope. And I saw just a whole lot of titty. It's the only wet t-shirt contest where we had to ask contestants to put a shirt back on in order to compete. It seemed a little redundant, but I guess it was cute. They had a keg. I did my first keg stand in like over a decade. Beth was shouting at me like, Billy, you got to go to 11, okay? You don't go. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I do not want to upset the queen. So I just like went to 11. I stopped at 11 because that's what she told me to do. Could have kept going. I'll chug as much as you tell me to. They had beer pong set up. It was just, I don't know, it was a cool theme. I had a really fun time. Found myself in a very unexpected threesome. Saw Drex fuck. That was interesting. It was a few days after we did this interview. So it was just like, okay, I really know this man now. So shout out to Eric for throwing a really good party. And thanks for asking me to help out. And then on Sunday, the next day, I had to go back to that basement in Bushwick. Very tired. So I've explained before that Hacienda uses a guardian system to keep the parties safe. In addition to, you know, creating a safe orgy population and doing consent workshops for newbies before every party. They also have people who volunteer as guardians, and they usually have like an hour long shift where they're in the playroom and they're just watching out for anything that shouldn't be happening. They're there as a resource if somebody needs to make a report about something, or if just somebody's like feeling shy and wants to talk to somebody, you can go up to a guardian, chat with them. And you volunteer for an hour long shift. You're kind of pseudo on call throughout the rest of the night. And you're usually only allowed to do this if you're kind of a trusted member of the community. I've been going to Hacienda for like over 8 years now. And they've decided to kind of formalize the guardian training. And so they started with like some of the more inner members of the team, kind of the all-star players. And so I was very flattered to be invited. And I hung out in a basement for a few hours and we talked about policies. We talked about the rules and expectations of guardians. We talked about how to handle certain situations. We must have spent like 20 minutes talking about voyeurism and like dudes who want to jack off to people fucking, and like, what should the policy, how far away is far away enough before you have to ask if it's okay to watch, right? Like, that was a very, like, we spent an inordinate amount of time about that. It was like one of the most controversial topics. And then I'm sitting there like, hey, however we decide the rule is going to be, just if I see someone who's standing too close, do I go up to the people who are fucking and ask them if they're doing okay? Or do I go to the guy jerking off to them and ask, hey, are you part of this scene? Like, who am I supposed to interrupt to make sure everything's on the up and up? I got Narcan training. We learned that in case somebody ODs on opiates, God forbid, at a party, you know, they have Narcan there and they were teaching us how to use it and how to spot someone who's overdosing. And I'm just like, I don't know why any of you do any drugs. This shit seems terrifying. And I just gotta say, I know I'm in the right place, because I love that this was not a casual, hey, come by, we're gonna play a PowerPoint, you technically need to watch it, and then like, ta-da, you're now a guardian, I now crown you a responsible person for safety at orgies, right? This wasn't just us sitting there learning so we could be allowed to do a thing. I mean, there was so much, there was debate, there was discussion, there was like care about the community. That's what I've always loved about Hacienda. It's community centric. It's not just about making money. It's not just about getting laid. And the amount of time we all kind of just volunteered for free to help keep those parties safe. It just, just to be sappy for a brief moment, felt beautiful. I'm very grateful that I answered the right Craigslist ad for the right bukkake, ran by kind of the wrong guy, but the right guy to get me into Hacienda. And then voila, I've been going there a long time. Good people doing good things there. So shout out to the peeps at Hacienda and what they do there. And I know I was just like sappy for a brief moment there. And so now I'm just going to go back to like only the most mild of mocking, because like at the very, very end, there was a very serious question of just like, look, I just need to know, are we allowed to vape or not? Yes or no? Is vaping smoking or no? What was the answer? That's... All right, before we get to Drex, let me announce the next hot movie night. Save the date, May 13th. That's a Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Fan whores are going to gather around in the champagne room, and we are going to watch the 1983 erotic film Private Teacher, starring, oh my gosh, R.I.P. Kay Parker, as well as the very, very sexy Honey Wilder. Private Teacher, it's a classic. Frankly, you probably have never seen it, but you may have accidentally downloaded a very specific scene from the movie. So save the date, mark the calendar, and then get on in the Champagne Room, our Discord server, and make sure you're signed up to the Patreon, like the recipient of this week's Fan Whore Appreciation Moment, Luke Schlag. Hope we'll see you at Hot Movie Night, man. Hey, thanks for keeping Aaron Rodgers warm for my boys. Thank you for supporting the Man Whore Podcast on Patreon. And thanks to your people for sending us very soon a quarterback worth a damn. And you too can support the podcast for just $2 a month. Support the pod you love. Become a member today at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast or download the Patreon app and find me on there. And now for this week's guest, Drexton Clemens, a very funny comedian. He's got a sports talk show on Amazon Prime called Game Breakers. And he's been a bit of a fuckboy. It takes one to know one, right, guys? I've heard about this guy, Drex, since like back in the fall. I heard about this dude, like, hey, really funny guy. Also has a tendency to come on real strong with chicks and then like ghost. Give all the attention, give all the affection, give all the texting, and then all of a sudden kind of like fade away. Nothing criminal. This is not like no one was calling him abusive. Just it seemed to be a pattern of behavior with this guy. And this is not why I booked him. I knew about this from several sources for a while. I heard about back in the fall from a comic last week with Rachel Green. She brought up, some of this or alluded to some of the fuckboy nature. I've been on a couple of one or two dates where like the woman knew Drex and had dated Drex and had experienced this. So just like I knew that this was out there. But I booked him because, like, you know, he did the Naked show, and in his set, he talks about being self-aware about this hoe phase and all that stuff, right? He talks about going to therapy. He goes to sex parties. I know that. And he's really fucking funny. So just, he seemed like a great fit. But so what I want to just try to quickly say is, this is not a gotcha call out podcast with Drex. When we started the conversation, or when I booked him, I didn't like start it with, hey, so like, I know this about you. Ah. But like in the middle, somewhere in the middle of the interview, I do reveal that like I've actually known about these things that he on his own brings up and talks about. And so I guess I want you to know that. Because I can also relate to a whole lot that Drex is talking about here, which is wanting attention, wanting love, not knowing how to develop friendship and intimacy that is not sexual, getting laid a lot and that not being the answer to filling that hole inside of yourself. Like, I don't know. This dude just seemed like, it seemed like we were on the level. I mean, now I do hold the smallest bit of space. And Drex, if you're listening, I told you this afterwards. I said, like, hi, I also very gullible. I'm an easy rube. So like, I hold 2% space that like he could be playing me. By no means do I think like Drex is done with whatever his journey is. I don't think he does either. But I think he's like in the middle of it. And I think that's a lot further than a lot of guys get. I think a lot of guys don't even want to acknowledge that there's a problem. It's a lot easier to just be like, these bitches is crazy. And I don't know how bad or not I'm supposed to feel for him. Maybe this is just because, like, you know, when I'm sitting down across from these podcast guests, like, empathy brain sometimes goes into overgear. But there's a time in the pod where I just start to feel really bad for him. I want to reassure him, like, you're not a bad guy. Don't beat yourself up too much. Just do better. Because that's what I try to tell myself. And there's an element of the whole, gosh, does everyone else know that I'm some sort of piece of shit because of a post on Facebook that really invoked my history with that 2015 Twitter stuff with Ella Dawson. That I just was like, whoa, man, I know that feeling and I know how much that sucks. Anyways, for as serious as this episode is, I just want to say Drex is super funny. I think I have a superpower where I invite very funny people onto this podcast where I put them in a situation to not be funny. So definitely go follow him on the socials and stuff afterwards. If you want to be reassured that the man knows how to crush. I've seen it with my own eyes while his dick was out. Let's go chat with Drex and Clemens. Former fuckboy. Question mark?
I think you can get away with a lot with a smile.
Yeah.
Smiling is, that's like, you can go darker with material. You can have more intimate conversations, things like that with like, just, you gotta smile through it. But yeah, the charisma is definitely something that has been worked on throughout the year. Cause I've always had like my whole family is naturally like very charismatic. Mm-hmm. The thing was, I never knew how to talk about myself on stage.
Okay.
For the first, I would say, 7 years that I did comedy, I never really talked about myself. I talked about myself in analogies to other things, other people, other things that were happening in the news, yada, yada, yada. But I was like, I'm not interesting. No one wants to hear about me. I'm not going to talk about myself, right? And then over the pandemic, comedy got more intimate. Comedy got more personal because everybody had a different experience with the pandemic. There wasn't this overarching, hey, let's talk about this one thing. It was very much like, what did you get out of this? What did you learn? And I think that like that's where all the therapy stuff kind of came into play. And that's where all the, you know, more self-aware conversations came in. Because I was always self-aware, but I was always like, how do I relate it to something else? So it's not like if they're not laughing, it's not about me. Mm. It's about the bit. Now I'm having people come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, like I'm going through the same thing you're going through. I'm dealing with the same stuff you're dealing with. I think that's really, really cool. It's interesting. It's weird.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it feels like I'm more naked in and of a way. Yeah. Right. But I'm enjoying it a lot. And like, I'm really trying to do more of it without coming off as the comic who gets on stage and talks about just himself. Cause I don't think bits are hitting in the same way. It's this weird thing, especially with TikTok and like attention spans going down. There has to be something that makes me want to pay attention. There has to be something that makes everybody want to pay attention. I don't think just, oh my God, what a well-written joke is working anymore.
Yeah.
It's how can I relate to this? How do I see myself in this person? And we like do that with artists, right? Like Chance the Rapper, for instance, even though he fell off really hard, when he was at his peak, people were like, I don't care about the music is amazing. I care about Chance. I want to know what Chance is up to. I want to see Chance build. I want to see him grow, right? And I think the same thing is happening with comedy right now, where people are like, I want to see you grow as an artist. Mm-hmm. I want to see what you have to say. I want to see what you're learning.
I care that you're not assaulting people off stage, right? Like there's, exactly. It used to be, well, look, I don't want to know. And now it's like comedy and all the art, like we're taking in. We also kind of want to not support a dirtbag.
Exactly. Because
the internet has allowed us to know more about. It used to be you only knew about them personally if they were in the paper, and there were only so many words and columns and space, so not everyone had a headline. And now there can be there's infinite space on the internet for people to have headlines about them.
Absolutely. And that's the last thing you want to be. You don't want to be a dirtbag. And I always felt bad about myself. I always thought my wholeness was my dirtbaggedness, right? Because I grew up in the South, you know, very Baptist. And I was out here in these streets for like a while. And I thought because I was doing it the wrong way, I was like, I wanted love and affection. And so I didn't want anything to feel transactional, sexually, intimacy wise. I would let people believe what they wanted to believe, whether it was like, oh, I'm just dating you or whatever, so that I didn't feel them pull away. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to feel a closeness to somebody, right?
Okay.
And so then when it would come out, like, wait, you're doing this with three people or you're doing this with other people? You know what I'm saying?
Or you're not as into me as all the constant texting is suggesting.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They would be like, you're such an asshole. What the fuck is wrong? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I know. It's just like, I felt like you would go somewhere. Or I felt like this, you know, so I had like a pillow cushion just in case, like, you know, I had somebody else or whatever. And it wasn't until like I really ran into like the Hacienda community and things like that, where I was like, oh, people can do this ethically. People can do this in a way that is healthy for like them and their relationships and things like that. So I always thought, because when breakups would happen, they would blow up in such a way because there were people, there were more than one person involved, that was what made me a bad person. That was going to be the thing that held me back. That was going to be the thing that people could point to and be like, what a dirtbag. He's not a good guy. Fuck that guy. Right?
The having a lot of sex.
Not even having a lot of sex. I think it was not being honest with how many people I was having sex with.
Okay.
Right. It was not being honest about, oh my gosh, I have multiple partners, but I have way more than you think I do. Or, you know, not being honest about my needs in a relationship. You know what I mean?
People thought you would tell people you had multiple partners, but you had more than what they thought.
Sometimes.
Because I had the opposite problem. I would be like, I have multiple partners and everyone thinks I'm having far more sex than I'm having.
Really?
Yeah. It is fucking kicking the dick when my last ex would always be freaking out. Like, are you on a date right now? It's okay if you're on a date. She was new to non-monogamy. Are you on a date? Is it okay? Like, are you on a date? It's okay. Can you tell me, are you on a date? And I'd be like, I'm in the park playing backgammon.
Yeah.
I'm losing $300 right now. This is like, I wish I was fucking.
Well, that's the thing. It was either we're dating or we're in a relationship, or I've never asked if he has multiple partners. I just assume since he's talking to me every day, since he's communicating with me all the time, since we're finding time to hang or whatever, that maybe I'm just the only one he's talking to. And then it would come out later that they weren't. And then they're like, what? You could have told me. Or we could have figured this out. So
were you sometimes juggling constant texting with seven people?
Yeah.
It's exhausting, right?
It is exhausting.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, I don't think at those times I was seeking what a true relationship was with anyone. Mm-hmm. I was just seeking validation, right? It's like posting a picture on Instagram and waiting for the replies to come in, or waiting for the notifications to come in, right? I was doing that with people. I'd reach out to people like, oh, let's hang out. And they'd be like, of course. And then, you know, we'd hook up or we'd cuddle or whatever. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm having so much fun with you. I'm enjoying you, your presence, whatever. And I'm sitting there taking it like, oh, I've got my validation. I've got my like. And then I would just go try to get that everywhere, rather than being like, hey, some days are not going to be good days with one person. You know, some days you're not going to get as much validation. Some days you're not going to get as much loving because they're busy and they've got their own lives and they're doing their own shit. Stop trying to look for that elsewhere. And so I think like that's where I am in my life now of like, how do I find what I want in one person? But also, like, if we're going to do this non-monogamously, right? How do we communicate in a way where everybody is healthy, where everybody is happy, where everyone feels taken care of and their needs are met, right? And I think for a long time, because I'm a people pleaser, I didn't know what my needs were. Mm. So I was taking the entire farm when I really needed a cow, right? I'm like, well, I'll take this farm and I'll take that farm and I'll take that farm. But really all I needed was a cow. All I needed was a hug. All I needed was someone to rub my head. All I needed was a good conversation with someone to joke around with, whatever. I didn't know what my needs were at the time, so I was just getting as much in as I possibly could and letting those needs filter out, you know?
What do you think the effect was on, I don't want to say the cows, because I don't want to call the chicks cows. That's probably not the best recorded look to have.
Not at all.
But like, what do you think the effect was on all these other women who at some point are getting let down by you?
That's the thing. The effect was so immediate and so harsh.
Well, because they're being built up. They're getting so much Drex. They're getting all the Drex anyone could want so quickly, right away, and so intensely.
Yeah.
And then at some point, it sounds like either what, you drop off? Would you disappear? Would you text less? Would you just kind of suddenly end a thing? Like,
it was more of the, I'm getting a consistent good Drex. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of Drex.
Right.
Then it comes out, I'm not the only one getting a lot. How does he have the time, the energy, the space to give any extra person all of what they're giving me? It wasn't, oh my gosh, he's making me feel good and now he's making me feel bad and now he's gone. Mm. It's I thought this was special to me. I thought I was just getting this and other people are getting this, and how dare other, you know what I mean? Mm. And so but also I wasn't telling them that other people were getting this affection. I wasn't telling them that I was talking to other people and doing things like that. And so there was like this hurt of like, I can't trust you, because if I were to turn back around and be like, no, it's only you, and I give you that same level, you're like, I already know you can give this level.
Okay.
So I can't trust that I'm the only person getting this. And I think it took people getting hurt by that. And it took like me hurting people that I genuinely loved. Like it took like someone that like I was like, oh my gosh, I could spend the rest of my life with this girl. If I can just cut these people off quietly in the background, like what's a weird 2 months if I could spend the rest of my life with her? She just never has to know. And then it all came out because one girl was like, oh, you guys have been talking for 3 months, because 2 months ago we were talking. He just kind of dropped off a little bit. And she's like, wait a minute, you were talking to this person? I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't want to tell you.
The dropping off, is that like a behavior that was repeated a lot?
It was a behavior that was like a silent, it was like a slow ghost.
Okay.
Right? Of like, all right, we're talking every day. Now we're talking every 3 days. Okay. Now we're talking once a week.
And when was like this like revelation?
So there's two major blowups.
Okay.
I will say, here's the thing, right? If we're going to start at the beginning, parents divorce. I think we start there, right?
I'm 7. This is when this starts.
Now, I'm 17.
Okay.
Right? I'm seeing these two people who've been married for 21 years, who I've watched fight, like, you know, argue with each other for 8 of those years, and then use me as their therapist for all of that, now break up in this horrible, terrible way. I've never seen a relationship just work, and the people in the relationships that I have seen work, there's like some level of toxicity there that just wasn't good. Like, my grandparents still argue like cats and dogs, but then they're like, oh, you know, we love each other. You're like, okay. So I take this like ideology of like, I want love but I'm afraid of it, into college, right? Dating this girl, we're dating off and on for 4 years. In high school, college, when we're off, I'm in these streets. When we're on, I'm still in these streets, but more on the sidewalk, you know? And so the trust was never built, but also never was there a pattern of, I can just stick with one person, right? Because it's like, again, you want love, you don't know if it's going to stick around. Okay. So you're always, it's like watching the Titanic go down and then being on a boat and being like, I'm going to be fine. No, I'm checking for lifeboats. I get into a relationship, I'm checking for lifeboats, right? But when you're checking for lifeboats all this time, you're not steering the ship. So eventually you're going to hit an iceberg anyway, right? Okay. And then but in your mind, you're like, of course I'm going to hit an iceberg. We're supposed to hit an iceberg, right? And it just confirms this thing that you have of that relationships are going
to
die.
Right. Because the first relationship you were introduced to hit an iceberg.
Exactly. So fast forward. I'm dating off and on in New York for a while. I have, you know, some good dating experiences, some bad dating experiences. The big blow up. I met this girl during the pandemic.
Okay.
The day our first date. Well, first of all, the day before we had our first date, we talked on the phone for 6 straight hours.
Oh, those are the best. I love those.
It was amazing. To a point where like it was 3-4 a.m. and I'm like, we got to go to bed. Yeah. We got to go to bed. She's like, I know, but I don't want to go to bed. I was like, okay, I got to see you tomorrow. Whatever we got to do, I got to see you tomorrow. She comes over. I cook her dinner. We have the most amazing time. And we wake up the next morning to the George Floyd news. Right? And like, the pandemic was already one thing. The Amy Cooper thing happened the day before. So we're already talking about the lady in the park with the guy with the bird watching.
Oh, right.
Right? That happens the day before. So we're already like, oh man, these white people, they're fucking up. Then this George Floyd thing happens. Then like my dad had like Bell's palsy for a quick second. So his face is all swollen. So I'm like, everyone's dying. Oh my gosh. And I was like just genuinely like so vulnerable with this girl. Yeah. That one overnight date turns into 4 straight days of her just at my place and us getting to know each other. In a week, we were together. And it was amazing. It was
fantastic. Are you hooking up or talking to other people at this time already?
Before we had met? Of course.
No, yeah. But like, so like you're on this date, but like, are there other people there's other people in the roster.
There's other people in the roster.
Just to get an idea. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Other people in the roster predate. But then I meet her and I'm like, I gotta cut all these people off. But I'm like, they did nothing wrong. I don't know how to cut these people off. Normally when you're in a relationship, it's because something bad happened. There's like a big thing, and then boom. So my move for the longest time was to check out. Like kind of back off a little bit, and then someone go, I'm not getting what I need out of this. I think I'm done. And I'm like, oh no, you're done. That's crazy.
Oh no.
Wow.
Oh,
I wish, you know, I want to be friends. Exactly.
Right, right. It's like, oh boy, I can't. Okay. I guess so.
Guess we're out of here. So I'm like, okay.
I'm so sad.
I guess we could be friends if we want to be friends. You know what I'm saying? And I would do that. That was my big move, which was not healthy at all. So
very conflict avoidant.
I don't like conflict, right? Mm. And so I do that, and there was this girl that was one of the last people on that little roster, and you know, I was like slowly kind of ghosting back or whatever, and then she got mad. She was like, I want to come to your place and come get my things. This is like 2 months, about a month and a half into me dating this other girl. At this point, she's flown down to Atlanta with me. She's met family. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be with this girl. We were like, it was amazing. This girl's like, I'm going to come get my shit from your place. So she comes to go get her stuff. We end up hooking up. So I end up hooking up with the other girl. And I was like, shouldn't have hooked up with her. That was a bad idea. But I was like, if I tell this girl now, this early into this relationship, I'm going to fuck up this perfect thing. Right? She posts a big thing of like, hey, glad to spend 3 months with this guy. That girl is like, that's so crazy that you said 3 months, because a month ago.
Do they know each other?
No, she was following her story. Because she was like, Drex is being weird. Why is he being weird? I'm going to get down to the bottom of this.
How the fuck she find... What?
People will figure it out. So she's like, and it's so interesting that you say 3 months, because a month ago we were hooking up. We hooked up. And here are the receipts, and here's all the text messages, and here's all that. And it broke the trust between me and that girl in such a profound way. To a point where we spent like 8 months trying to fix it, and we couldn't... It never got better.
I just got sick in my stomach. Oh.
Yeah. 8 months. And like, because it was like, what do I need to do? I'll do anything to fix this. She's like, I want access to your phone. I want your password. I want this. And I would give her access to my phone. And I'd wake up in the morning and she's scrolling through. She's like, I deleted this person because she tried to hit you up last night. And I deleted this photo because you shouldn't have this in your phone. But like just in it. And I was like, I at the time I was like, my privacy is so much more important than anything. Like, why can't I have my privacy? As much as I was trying to be on the straight and narrow, and as little progress as I was seeing, I was like, well, what's the point? If I'm seeing no progress, if things aren't really getting better, then why am I even doing this in the first place? Right? But we ended up having a big final fight, and it ended. And I like was like, oh my gosh, like I was so immature, and I wasn't ready for somebody who could have been the love of my life. Mm-hmm. And from then on, I never, like, I dated and I was like going on dates and I was going out, but I never let myself in. I never let anybody get too close. So I was just dating people and they're like, we've been talking for like a couple months and like, I feel like I don't know you. I feel like you're not, I feel like I know nothing about you. I feel like we're just,
the fuck are y'all talking about?
We're just hanging and fucking and
yeah, but in between the hanging and fuck, I don't know, like the way I hang and fuck is like I'm like almost like podcast interviewing them and be like, so like what was like a time in your life when, right?
That's
like,
the thing. I would interview them.
Yeah.
And then like they throw back on me, I give them a quick little okay. And then
let you get away with that?
People were letting me get away with it.
That's sweet.
Or I would answer the questions that they asked, but if they never asked any questions, then I had nothing to answer. So I was always just like, what can I learn about you? Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I be there for you? And that's all I was doing, because I never went, I was like, I don't want to let myself in at all. Mm-hmm. And then that, I was just going on dates and just doing that with everybody. Like, I'm never letting anybody in, yada, yada, yada. And that was the second blow up, is like four girls were like, are we all dating Drex? And yeah.
So the first one's, you know, like the summary of 2020. When's this one?
This is 2022.
How did that come about?
How did it come about? I think, what was it? I think one girl ran into another, or like talked to someone on Instagram or something, or Facebook, something, and was, now, I know how it happened. I had a friend in town that I had met at work, and we ended up hooking up. Okay. And long story short, like, we were hooking up, and one of the girls I was talking to at the time was like, hey, I want to, like, hang or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I can't. I'm hanging with my friend. And they found out about each other. Like, because, like, they were, she was like, what friend? Like, what do you mean? And then, like, she, like, came by and, like, that girl was there. And, like, we weren't, like, hooking up at the time, but it was like, oh, so you had another person? Like, what? So then she posts on social media, like, I'm dating this guy. Who else is dating this guy? Now I've found out that, like, he's hooking up with somebody else.
Now, I don't want you to feel like this is any sort of gotcha moment.
Go for it.
But, like, I'm aware of this.
Yes.
But it's like, it was a Facebook group, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Right?
But I heard that there was a Facebook group that's like dedicated to the, are we dating the same guy?
Absolutely.
And that it was on there.
Yep.
How do you find out that that's posted? How does it feel when you find out that they are all finding out in such a public manner?
So the way that I found out was several text messages at me simultaneously from friends, from people I was hooking up with.
You're like, did I go viral?
I basically went viral in this group. They hit me. Everyone hit me up and was like, this is you. Like, we all found out. And then four of them became friends and like went out for drinks and like were talking about me and like sending me pictures like, fuck you, we're all friends, like the whole thing, like you're a piece of shit, blah 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 blah, confirming everything that I already felt about myself. Now
and the thing that they're saying is piece of shit is the same stuff where it's like, you make me feel special, you're kind of vague, you're not being straightforward, and
yeah,
and then possibly, I don't know, but maybe also this drop-off behavior.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so that was like the thing that like was like, oh shit, okay, maybe like I'm doing worse than I thought. Maybe I'm overcorrecting in this avoidance. Maybe I'm overcorrecting how I'm like approaching people and things like that, because like, and this is kind of what the special I've been working on is about, of like, the people you hurt in the process of not trying to hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like that all comes out. My reaction to this is like, I'm fucked. Like I like, I'm a bad person. I'm a villain. I am fucked. Like, I don't, what do I do now? Like, I've royally fucked up in a way that is now public, right? And like, for me, I grew up in like a what happens in the house stays in the house thing, right? Like, hey, don't go telling our business out there. You keep all this in house. And so when things, I get the most anxiety, I think, when like things that I want to keep in house becomes public, right? And
now it's not just some people hate me. Everyone who sees that they hate me now hate me. Now everyone hates me.
Right. And so, but then you're also walking around like, who knows? Who doesn't know? Yeah. Who is smiling at me and looking at me right now and being like, oh, Drek, so good to see you. While also being like, that fucking dick, that fucking piece of, fuck that guy. You know what I'm saying? And like, also, like, no matter how much I change, will I ever be able to change the people's perception of me? Right. And that, in and of itself, one, catapulted me back into therapy, which was great. My therapist is fantastic. But two, catapulted me more so into the non-monogamous community because I was like, okay, clearly, like, I have the capacity for multiple partners, but how do I do this in a healthy way? How do I do this in a way that where everyone is on the same page? Like, how, if I'm already public, if everything about me is already public and out there, how do I do this right? There's nothing to hide anymore. There's nothing to hide behind anymore. There's no, I could just be like, hey, I'm working on non-monogamy. Hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Like, how do I do this in the right way? How do I rather
than consider pausing
dating?
For like a minute, you're like, I got back into therapy and I also got into non-monogamy. It's like, you didn't think to maybe like put a little time in between the two.
Because by the way,
I hope you're just like, you can try. I didn't, you know, I found out some thing. I've heard stuff before like, I asked you on, but I didn't think to ask you on until after I saw your set and I saw some self-awareness because I didn't want you to think I'm like coming here to like,
no, but
gotcha,
also
gotcha, nothing like what, that. Like, but what I'm seeing is like in that is how do I find a solution both to not hurt others, but like without having to like stop fucking, stop dating?
You know, it's my thing, I think, is I don't know how to be alone.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. I genuinely don't know.
And that's why I was like, why not have the pause? Like, let me get into the therapy. Let me take like a beat. Let me take a month or two off of attention and be with myself. And what's your, I don't know if I can say what your therapist name is, but say, well, let me just be with Sam for a month or two and then not just get back in the dating, but then explore this more ethical space where there's a lot of dating. Because to say like, I'm going to go from, I'm having trouble doing any one thing with any one woman correctly to be like, well, now I'm just going to go like have access. And like, and again, I say this and almost say like, fuck you, wait, but like as a very attractive man, you're going to go jump into the non-monogamy space where you're going to be pounced on by like everybody, right? So it's like you're like, and it's like if you know you can't be alone, and everyone, no one's gonna let you be alone if you let them.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you, did you never think once maybe I should just take myself off the market, get through Thanksgiving?
Right. I thought about it. I think that I get I do a lot of things to distract myself from being with myself.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it be, I'm like, if you know me, you know, I'm constantly listening to music, or I'm constantly watching something, or I'm constantly trying, like talking to people or doing a thing or heading to a show or keeping myself busy or on a date. I'm doing something. I don't know how to be alone with myself. And that's something I've definitely been working on. Mm-hmm. And for me, the moments where I am forced to be with myself, case in point, the Facebook thing that blew up, have always been moments where I'm not, like, where I'm on display as not good, right? So that I'm by myself with this recurring thought of, you're not a good person. Mm-hmm. You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
No one likes you. No one wants to be around you, right?
Which you already thought before.
Which I already thought before, but now I get to go on Facebook and have it confirmed. Mm-hmm. I get to, you know what I'm saying? And so, having that roll around in my head constantly was not great for my mental health. So for a while I was like, okay, how do I build friendships? I think a lot of times I date for friendships, because I say it on stage all the time. I could probably not have sex and be totally fine. I've gotten to a point in my life right now where, like, I'm not in it for the sex. I'm in it for the stuff after. I'm in it for the cuddling, the talking, the intimacy of it all, right? Sex is the gateway to the intimacy, and it's the fastest one there. Because you could have an intimate friendship. You could really get to know somebody, but that takes time. That takes energy. That takes multiple whatever. Sex, you could be like, are we doing this right now?
I mean, you can do that. Not all the dudes can do. I can just barely do that.
I still have this issue. I don't really know how to be alone. I don't know how to be alone with myself. So, like, even when I go on vacations, right? Like, my big thing has been, like, I'm going to start taking solo trips. Mm-hmm. I get into a city and I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I am excited to try or whatever. I'm always used to being like, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And then just enjoying that experience with somebody, right? And again, like, through childhood and everything else, it was like, how do I best support my parents? How do I protect my sister from seeing all of this stuff? How do I yada yada yada? It was never about me. So I brought that energy into dating, where I was just like, I don't know how to vocalize my needs. I don't know what I need by myself. And not everybody's going to be free every day of the week. So let me figure this out. Mm. And yeah, it just kind of stemmed from, like, really not knowing how to be alone. But I think also, I don't know. I got to a point where I was like, I'm tired of hurting people mm-hmm. with, like, these patterns. So I got to get rid of these patterns. And at the same time, like, I'm tired of feeling bad. Like, I'm tired of feeling like
a bad guy.
Like a bad guy.
You know, bad guys don't exist, right? It's only in movies. There's no good guys either.
No, but
like, we're all good and bad.
Right.
To my knowledge, when I say, like, I've heard things, no one, and I've clarified to ask, especially then when I wanted to book you on the Naked Show, because I also was like, you know, I want to make sure it's a safe thing. It's like, nobody said to me nothing that Drex is going to touch it or has taken pussy or anything.
No.
No one said he's unsafe. Really, the worst thing it was, like, he might try to fuck you. Like, that was, like, the worst, right? It's like, and that's not, like, a terrible thing.
Yeah.
If you say no, he'll respect it, but, like, he might turn the fuck it. That was like the worst, right? So, but there's no good bad,
right? But
you're not a bad guy
in all of everything. I've always been, because I have a little sister. It's like, I've always been like, I'm gonna, even if I'm fucking up, I'm above board. Like, sure, if I'm cheating, I'm above board. I'm not gonna, you know, do anything. But, like, even though you could say I'm not a bad person, even though, like, I'm getting to a point where I'm not feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm this terrible person, a good person or not a good can still get in their own way. And I think that for me, it was like, I'm getting in my own way, mm-hmm. right? If I want to get married at some point, if I want to have kids at some point, if I want to have a genuinely healthy relationship with anyone, mm-hmm. whether it be friendships, relationships, whatever, I got to stop getting in my own way. So therapy and all of this was like, over the last, like, year has been like, how the fuck do I not get in my own way? And I think that's kind of where, like, the non-monogamous community kind of played into it, because I've been liking going to these events and not doing anything. I've been liking going to these events and just talking to people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just being like, oh wow, I built a friendship. Nothing ever has to happen. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I get to go home. Because fucking is the least important aspect of this thing, right? Whereas, like, you go to, like, a comedy show and someone comes and talks to you after and they're like, oh my God, I really loved your set. Are you busy after this? You're like, oh, fucking is about to happen, because everything's being set up for this fucking tech. You know what I mean? You take that out of it. So it was like, okay, let me build friendships in this community. Let me build genuine relationships with people in this community so that, like, I can take the tension out of this thing, right? And so that was part of it. And the other end of it is just like, I feel like I'm probably not the only person in that community that's felt this way or has done this shit, right? I just wanted to be around people who would, like, get it and understand it, because I think I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm, like, looking for tribe. I'm looking for people, and I feel way more alone than anything. I always, in my group of friends, I always feel like the third, the fifth, the seventh wheel constantly. Even if they're like, Drex, how you doing? throwing it to you a little bit. What's up? Like, I'm like, oh, well, you guys have an established thing and you guys are just inviting me into this. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm trying to, like, build a community of my own so that, like, oh, I'm not looking for somebody else to date. I just need to call my friend real quick. My friend's going to have advice. Oh, I'm not looking for somebody else to fuck. Let me, like, you know, let's go do a thing together. You and I want to go have a threesome. Let's go have a threesome together. You know, oh, I'm not looking for this, this, and this. I could find this within my thing, mm-hmm. rather than building 1,000 little communities with 1,000 different people. And that's all I was doing.
Yeah, I can relate to that real hard.
Yeah.
Most of my closest friends are women I am or have had sex with.
Me too.
And that gets tough to the point that, like, I'm trying to find some more, like, friendships that are, like, not sexual. But that's hard for me because I don't know, if I get along with someone and we laugh and all this stuff and they're cute and they think I'm cute, I mean, like, sex is also fun too. Like, why can't you know? Exactly. Like, if I were gay, like, I would want, like, endless jack off bros. I want J-O yeah. bro after J-O bro. Like, hey, like, let's, you know, talk about our feelings and watch, like, movies we like, and, like, also let's jerk. Like,
right.
That would have been my experience.
And a lot of my male friendships are inherently toxic in a way that I'm not. Oh, we out. We're gonna go pick some shit up, and it's like, I don't fucking care.
I can even hang out with you, motherfuckers.
Right. I just want to chill, listen to music, talk, have a good time. Play some pong. Let's play some pong. Let's do that. And, like, I don't feel like I get that out of my male friends. Whereas, like, my women friends, I feel like we can have genuine conversation. We can talk about whatever. We could just go dancing. We can have a good time. And I agree with you. I think that I'm getting to a point where, like, I don't want my sluttiness to be the front-facing part of me. Like, I would like to lead with something else. But because of my history throughout the years and because of, like, the history my friends have seen, that's how I'm introduced. That's how I'm brought up. So, like, oh, Drex, the whore, welcome. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And if she thinks you're hot too, then it's like, well, oh, I know he's a whore and this and that. And yeah, sure, like, we can have a little fun conversation, but, like, I'm a fuck that guy.
Exactly.
I have a guy in my group who's in our age bracket, very, again, like, hot, in shape, very attractive guy. Also associates intimacy with the friendships, and his big thing is, like, he can't figure out how to, like, keep, like, make friends. Like, he thinks that everyone just wants him for his dick, so he's like, I'll be friends, and the thing I bring to this friendship is dick.
Well, okay, I don't know if you do this, but I completely agree with him. I think
replace dick with tongue. That's me. I don't know that I'm rocking anything impressive, but, like, I can do one thing real well.
Well, it's not even okay. So, like, I go into I've gone into situations being like, I think these people want me for either entertainment or dick. And I want intimacy from them. I want something else, mm-hmm. right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them the thing that they want mm-hmm. so that I can then in return get the thing that I'm needing from that relationship, right? And I think a lot of people are like, I want entertainment, I want dick, and maybe one other thing. So it's like, I want entertainment, I want dick, I want a good morning text. I want entertainment, I want dick, and I want you to call me once a day. I want entertainment, I want dick, and I want, like, it's one other thing, right? And so for me, I was like, all right, if I just entertain them, give them some dick, and one other thing that they want, they'll be happy and, like, not ask any questions and, like, whatever. And, like, I'll just get the intimacy, I'll get the cuddles, whatever. The issue became when those things became transactional. They'd be like, oh my God, thank you so much for the entertainment and dick. I'm going to go home now. I'm like, wait, no, we just finished. Can we, like, you know, watch a movie? You want to watch a movie? They're like, no, I got work in the morning. I got to go. I'm like, ah. Or, like, they'd be like, no, I'm just here for this. And they were in and out in an hour. And you're like, ah, well, I'm not. So then sex started feeling empty. So then for me, it was like, sex isn't what I'm looking for. I'm not getting anything out of this. Like, whereas maybe if I was younger, I'd be like, hell yeah, I get to fuck whoever I want. I get to have sex. This is great. Apparently, I would leave these situations and be like, this isn't what I wanted, because I'm still feeling unfulfilled. I'm still feeling empty, right? And so then it went back to, all right, let me go get some validation. Let me go have somebody who wants to talk to me all day. Let me have somebody who is like, oh, when are you free? I would love to just, like, come watch a movie or yada, yada, yada. And then that, again, it was that drug of validation that I was just using sex to get to. And the people that I stopped talking to the quickest were the ones who I just had sex with, and they were like, I'm good. Take care. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know. Don't throw an I don't know at
you. Yeah. It's just, it's tough. It's really tough because, like, yeah, I'm just now getting to a point in life where I'm able to vocalize my needs, but I also feel so behind the curve in the implementation of getting those needs that I feel so lost dating. Like, for a while, it felt like I was going on the same date 50 times because I was like, if I say this, if I do this, if this song plays, if I dance like that, if we do this, we're gonna go. Or if I do that, and then the variable would change would be the person. So I'm like, oh, this is a person type B. Okay, this and then that, and then I'm going to dance like that, and then I'm going to do this, and then that, and we're going to go out. And like, that was literally every date for me for a while, and that became monotonous. And like, so I'm now getting to a point where I'm like, I see what I want, I know what I want, but I have no clue how to get there. And I also feel like I fuck so much shit up in the way to it that I'm just waiting for that next shoe to drop. I'm waiting for myself to find the next person that I genuinely want to be with, that I genuinely love. And the second that things are going well, someone's going to pull them aside and be like, have you checked Facebook? Someone's going to pull them aside and be like, don't date that guy. That guy's a piece of shit. Someone's going to pull them aside and be like, oh my gosh, I liked him too until this, this, and this. No matter how on board I've been, no matter how, you know, good I've been, I always feel like I'm waiting for that next shoe to drop. And I'm so afraid of it that I'm so afraid of getting vulnerable with anybody while simultaneously being like, I need to figure out how to be vulnerable with somebody.
And what's your dating life? Like, what's your roster at right now then?
My roster right now is...
I want so badly for you to put your dick down for like just a minute.
I wish it was that, man. I really wish it was. I've been going on a string of very meaningless dates with people that...
Present tense, we're saying.
Yeah. With
like, so you know. Apps, we're using apps.
Apps.
I haven't swiped this calendar year.
Really?
I think I opened field once because like I got a notification and I think I tapped a button 5-10 times, but I haven't touched it. It didn't touch. And Tinder and Bumble have undownloaded themselves from my phone.
Really?
That's how long it was. Apparently, they'll do that, which is kind of cool. If you won't open it long enough, they'll be like, all right, peace. Let us know when you want us back.
And I only meet people at shows. I have work and then I have shows. And the last thing I want is someone to be like, I saw that guy up there and I want that all the time. And I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I've been going on a string of meaningless dates that I don't want to continue going on. And so like I talked to my therapist about it this week and I'm like, I want to start cutting these people off because I'm getting nothing out of this. I'm not feeling good at all. And like I started talking to somebody the other day who's part of the community that we've been just talking about music for like the last 3 days. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like it like hasn't been sexual at all. It's just been like, let's just fucking talk. And we haven't met up yet. We've just been like messaging each other on Instagram, but I'm having so much more fun with these conversations than I have in the longest time just dating people. Like, not saying that that's going to go anywhere or not, because it may not, may whatever, but
if you meet up just to hang out, what happens if she wants dick?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. You know what I mean? I think that's like a figured out in the moment, because I also, the people pleaser in me as well is also afraid to reject somebody. Because if I tell somebody no, then what if they feel undesirable? But what if they feel unwanted? Are they going to be mad at me about that? Mm-hmm. And if they're mad at me about that, does the energy that they bring my way switch? Do I get less of it? Do I feel the shift? If I feel the shift and I know that I'm getting half energy because they're upset that they're not getting sex from me, then I'm going to feel weird this entire time because I'm not getting the energy that like they were able to give me at the beginning. So if I just give them what they want, the thing that keeps them around, then maybe I get the energy that I'm like the consistent energy that I want. And that's been my dilemma is like, I've just been doing these things to keep people, like keep the energy going rather than doing them because I want to do them. And I haven't done what I've wanted to do in a long time.
And what's it going to take for you to stop going on these meaningless dates? What's a good, we come back to, it's like, you seem to know when I think I brought up the good guy, bad guy stuff. You were like, who knows that I'm a piece of shit? 'Cause they know about this stuff. I have a similar thing. So I know what that feeling's like. That's dread. Anytime I go to something in the sex positive realm, that like if someone says, literally sometimes I'll be at Hacienda, people are like, are you Billy Presida? And I'm like, is that good or bad? Like, do you hate me or you're like, you like my show?
That's the thing, right? A lot of this is in my head. The way that I look at it is like, it's a lot of, like, I feel like I have ghosts, right? Like every relationship that's failed or every person I've dated where I was like, we're gonna get out of it, is a ghost, right? And I'm like always like head on a swivel, like I'm gonna run into somebody today. I'm all like, it's gonna be this girl I dated, or it's gonna be like this girl that like hates me, you know what I mean? Or yeah, one of the girls from the face.
Maybe
I'm gonna run into
somebody.
And
it's gonna be fine,
right?
And it's gonna be a conflict that you don't, because you don't like conflict at all. It seems
but
it's gonna be fine,
right? Like one yelled at me at a restaurant by my house, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ! She was like, you're a fucking piece of shit. Fuck you. Fuck that guy. As I was walking back, because it was right after the Facebook post. She was the one who posted the Facebook post.
So that's gonna be that one,
right? So
you should be worried when like there's six of those happening,
right? And that luckily not so much, but like I'm always like head on a swivel. I'm like, who am I gonna run into? And I think that keeps me very insular. I date in the same spots. I stay in my room for the most part. Like they're also like, come back to my place. I'm like, we can go back to my, like, I, because it's safety, right? Because I'm like, oh, if I'm back at my place, then I don't get to run into anybody. If I'm here, then I don't have to worry about, you know. And but it's not living. And I feel like I've spent since that post truly like not living. And like I've been trying to like start living more.
It's not living if I'm just going to keep being scared someone's going to yell at me and say they don't like me. Because you know what? There are people who don't like me. And if I go to the Brooklyn Sex Expo, there are going to be sex educators there who don't fucking like me.
Yeah.
Because things I said on Twitter when I was 26.
Right.
That's good. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm clearly still okay. People still work with me. I still have a career. I'm doing my thing. Like, it's going to be okay that not everyone likes me. And once I let go of that, which is not until... I'm feeling a lot of things that you're feeling, because like I felt them recently. So I don't think I was really able to let a lot of this shit go until 2021.
Yeah.
Was when I was just starting to let it go and accept that, like, yeah, sometimes people aren't going to like me and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's tough. I know it's hard to do. So I appreciate that. But like,
yeah,
I hope you can get past that sooner. You talked about steering the ship.
Yeah.
But how does a ship go through? What is the ship? Friction. That's literally how things are moving, is friction.
Yeah.
If you don't have friction, your ship doesn't move.
Yeah. I would love to not be the one creating the friction. Because again, that's conflict, right?
Like, you have to have, just conflict exists. It's going
to
be.
Exactly. And so that's the thing that I'm trying to get over. That's the thing that I'm trying to learn, is that like, listen, conflict's going to happen. Like, yeah, every now and then I've matched with someone on Hinge and then they were like, hey, wait a minute, you're the guy from Fuck You. And I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. But like, again, yeah, I was a hoe and I was like out here, sure. And I cheated, absolutely. But I did nothing like egregious.
Yeah.
I did no crimes, which is good. I know that I don't want to step into 30 in the same way that I was stepping into 28 and 29,
mm-hmm.
right? And so this year in particular has been so many different, like, okay, then how do I do this right? All right, if I'm going to go to Hacienda or sex parties, how do I do this right? If I'm going to be non-monogamous or monogamous, whichever one I pick, how am I going to do those things right? If I want to date intentionally, how do I do that right? If I want to break up with somebody, how do I do that right?
Well, if you keep avoiding conflict, you can't do any of that stuff right.
Exactly. And so
maybe unsolicited advice, but maybe if you weren't dating in a moment and you figure out how can I have healthy conflict, then you can like turn the switch back on and go forth and know how to do that. But like, you can't avoid conflict and do those things right. It's impossible. Because if you break up with somebody, you have to tell them.
Yeah.
You can't ghost it. If you want to have a healthy relationship, sometimes there's going to be conflict and you have to engage with the conflict in healthy communicative ways rather than figure out ways to avoid it altogether. Like, you have to have conflict, man.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be hard to do that if you're always on a date, especially dates you don't seem to want to do. And again, not to keep telling everyone to go look at his Instagram, but like, yeah, pussy's going to keep getting thrown at you. And if you can't, if you keep taking it, you'll never get to look at shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you attempted getting ugly? Have you tried that? It might be a strategy. Listen. You should try it for a little bit. Go stop going to the gym for just a minute.
I tried gaining
you're like,
weight.
I'm trying to get this like summer body. No.
No,
don't get a winter body now.
I tried gaining weight a little bit and someone's like, okay, daddy. I was like, great, I have a dad bod now and it's sexy apparently. Like, yeah, it's bad.
It's my time.
Right. But like man, that's really what it is.
I'm saying all this out of like care and concern because I'm feeling for you and
yeah.
You know, I relate to a lot that you're talking about. So I hope you're not feeling attacked or anything.
No, man, work has definitely been the thing that's gotten me better at conflict. So now it's like, all right, cool. Like, I'm going to start asking for these things. I'm going to start asking for what I want, but also I'm going to start making myself into somebody who deserves the things that I ask for. Right?
Oof.
Because I can't be like, I want this type of relationship and this kind of person and this and the other. And I'm not doing shit to be good for that. Mm-hmm. I've got to be that as well. And so like the first, I thought the first step was going to be like, I got to talk to everybody and apologize. But I don't want to open up old wounds. I don't want to make people who've moved on be like, hey, I'm back. I'm here to apologize. Like, I figured right. my shit out without you. And now you're ugh. So part of this hour that I've been working on is an exploration of where I was, where I'm trying to go, but also like just like a love letter to those wrongs and being like, listen, I saw them too. I was wrong in this too. And I see where I was wrong and I'm sorry for those wrongs. And like, that's not something that I'm trying to duplicate. That's not something that I'm trying to continue. So, you know, just as much as they were going through it, just know that like, they weren't going through it like while I was being unaware, while I wasn't aware about it, or that like, there was no lesson that was taken from those experiences. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think a lot of people have shitty experiences or do shitty things and learn nothing from them. And then they just continue doing it and worse. And they think that they're not the problem. I've seen myself. I know I was the problem in all of these things. I wish I could go back and fix all of them. I can't. So now moving forward, I'm like, how do I do this better? And that's what I'm doing.
I'm happy to hear that, man.
Yeah.
You don't hear a lot of dudes speak like that. I try to, but they all call me gay. So it's,
you know, it's 2023. We could be whatever we want to be, you know, emotionally aware men can exist.
Yeah, man. Well, I wish you luck on that. I hope you start learning how to bat it away a little more. Cause I think you'll be a little less distracted and that means more focus on you.
Yeah.
And then when you got you right, then you're in a better place to accept that flood of vagina that like, you know, yeah. I mean, and people think I get laid a lot and I'm just like, you don't even know. You don't even know. But before we get to plugs, we have an Ask the Guest channel in our Discord server, the Champagne Room. Patreon members are able to ask questions of the guests. That's the order those words go in. These are not mine. If they're bad questions, they're not mine. And if they're good, I wish they were mine. But I will ask them if you put them there. First comes from our prolific asker, Chuck G. He wants to know, and this is because, well, I guess we'll throw this in real quick. You're on you have an Amazon Prime show.
I do.
With friend of the pod, Eitan Levine.
Yep.
AVN Award winner, Eitan Levine.
For Hamilton. Yep.
Hamilton, big fan. So it's a show about sports. Mm-hmm. It's Game Breakers, right?
Yep.
Okay. So Chuck G wanted to know, which is the least funniest sport and why?
The least funny sport? Ooh, I feel like every sport's a little funny. That's the thing. I feel like golf is boring. That's probably the most, because it's all billionaires getting mad at each other for small things that don't make any sense. Like if I could skip golf every day, like we try not to talk about it at all. Like there's nothing fun. We get, every day we're like, oh, he did what? 42 over. That's crazy. We don't care. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's genuinely one of the most boring sports to watch. So I put golf up there as least funny.
I'm a big gambler, and one time I was like, let me see if I can make golf more exciting. So I started gambling on golf, but then all I did was make gambling boring.
That's so funny. Yeah, because there's nothing that you're just like, okay, hit the ball. Wow. Like, it's not funny. And then, like, the most interesting thing about golf is the drama between PGA and LIV, and it's just two different entities being like, well, we can pay them more money. Well, you guys have teams. We don't want teams. Like, it's dumb, arbitrary shit. And, like, when you break it all down, it's still not funny. Like, it's arbitrary and unfunny, right. And that's the worst part about it.
Stefaru wants to know, what was the toughest topic for you personally in Tough Questions? Is that a segment on the show?
Yeah. Okay. Tough Questions.
So she's clearly watched.
Okay. Tough. So not on the show. Tough Questions was a Instagram thing that I used to do during the pandemic, where I would break down different like cultural events, and then I would ask my followers questions about it, called Tough Questions. And my phone is dead now. It was so funny. My favorite one is I had to redact one a little bit, because I made one about COVID when it wasn't affecting Black people yet. So there was a whole thing in it about like, hey guys, we're good. It's only hitting white people, that I had to like take it out, right? But I think the hardest one to do was about spectatorship. I was talking a little bit about Kanye West when he was running for president. He had this whole like campaign thing, and you know, there was this big video of him.
He lost, right?
Absolutely. Okay, he lost. He had this campaign, but like at the beginning of his campaign, he was like having like manic rap episodes with Forbes magazine, and then did this whole thing about like, you know, how his dad wanted to have him aborted and like all this other stuff. And people were filming it and putting it out, knowing this man was going through a manic episode. And like everybody was talking about like how crazy it was that Kanye was doing this in the first place. And I turned it over and I was like, listen, it's crazy that he's doing this, but it's also crazy that as spectators, we allow it. We give the space for it to happen. We eat it up. And spectatorship, I think, was the hardest one, because I had to look in at myself and be like, I do the same thing. I want to see the drama. I want to see people's shit. I want to, just as much as my shit is out, I bet people love to see my shit be out. Just same thing as everybody else. So I think that was the hardest for me, because I had to really take a hard look at how I look at the world. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was probably my toughest one.
All right. And then the last question comes from Princess Peach. She wanted to know, what made you want to do the naked comedy show, and how is it different from your typical stand-up besides being naked, which I'll just throw out there, Drex crushed.
Thank
you. Had him closing out for a reason. I knew it was like, that's the energy I want. that's what you want, ending any show. And but yeah, what do you got to say to that?
So that wasn't my first naked comedy show. I don't know if I told you this story.
You did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking backstage about it, because I'd heard in Atlanta there was an underwear show, because Kyle Gillis said that's my line when I asked him.
Yes, Joe Pettis, that's his name, runs an underwear show in Atlanta.
Joe Pettis.
Yes.
Not Pera.
No.
Okay.
Joe Pettis runs an underwear show in Atlanta. It's very great. Check it out. There is a sex club in Atlanta.
The Diamond Club?
It's called The Loft.
Okay, The Loft.
And The Loft is really fun. It's a nice place. Very sweet people. I was there when I used to book gigs off of Craigslist. That was my whole thing, because comedy doesn't pay. And it was like $500 to do 15 minutes of hosting. I was like, that is an insane amount of money. Of course. So I sent in all my stuff. I'm like, clubs and colleges everywhere, because I'm only 2 years into comedy. And they're like, we love it. We have one request. Can you do it naked? And I was like, sure. I go there, I do my set, I have a good time, and the entire time there's like two girls staring at me the entire time. Okay, this is weird. Like, they're not even laughing. And like, as a comic, you never remember the good stuff that happens with the crowd. You always remember the small, weird things.
Yeah, right? That's why I think I bombed both shows on Saturday.
First of all, you crushed. I don't know what you're talking about. You had such a good set.
I haven't watched my tapes yet.
No, they're such good sets. Don't ever say that. But they bring me upstairs, right? Because I go over and I'm like, what's wrong? Did you not enjoy yourself? They're like, oh no, we loved it. Can we show you around? I was like, cool. They bring me upstairs. Upstairs, there's six doors, six rooms with doors that lock. And then there's two California king-size beds on this loft area. And there was a third lady up there. And she goes, oh, you brought them up. I was like, oh, this was a setup. So we're having
queen?
Right? So we're having a foursome, right? And at the time, I'm 21. I don't know what I'm doing. It was a lot like that scene in I Love Lucy with the chocolates on the conveyor belt. Like, I'm just like throwing shit at the wall. Like, what's going on? And I look up at one point, and everybody that was downstairs was now upstairs watching. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, that's the comedian guy. And we finish up. And the owner's like, I like your style, kid. I like what you're doing. Our party starter is out for the month. Like, could you mind filling in for him? And I was like, what's that? He goes, a lot of these events are people just talking about their wives and kids. And so somebody starts having sex. So then people start feeling comfortable enough to like start having sex. You get to be the guy that starts it. So then they'll start feeling comfortable. And then once they start having sex, you're kind of good to go.
Is that paid?
Paid.
Same amount of money. I've missed out on the money because I'll just do that.
Right.
I'll just be that guy.
I went to an independent orgy and it was so funny because we all went to a picnic in New Jersey and then we go over to this guy's house and there's six of us there. And we're just all talking. And then 2 hours in, we're still all talking. And I was like, well, I got to go do shows now. No one knows how to like start a thing.
Yeah.
So like every week, Friday and Saturday, I would go in, they'd pay me $500, and I would go do the thing, and I'd go home, and that was my weekend for four weekends straight.
Amazing.
It was the best. So, not my first time doing naked comedy. This show was my favorite doing naked comedy because the crowd was so warm, they were so positive, and they were so cool, and I just genuinely enjoyed myself in like such a way that the nervousness was gone. I was nervous all the way until I got to the stage. About 15 seconds into the stage, I was like, oh my gosh, this is just a comedy set. Like, I never pay attention to what I'm wearing anyway on a comedy set. Why am I paying attention now? Everyone's having a good time. I just got to have a good time with everybody. So this show, which is why I'm like, bring me back. Yeah. I genuinely had more fun than I've had doing cloth comedy in a long time.
I'm glad to hear that, man. We'll definitely be having you back. For now, man, you know, where can people go find you, follow you, check out your work, see if you're off your fuckboy shit?
Everywhere, This Guy Drex. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, This Guy Drex.
And the show on Amazon Prime is called
Game Breakers.
Game Breakers.
Yep, every day, live 2 to 4 p.m. On Prime Video.
Sounds good, man. Well, thanks for opening up. Thanks for sharing. And why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody.
Hey, take care, people. This was so much fun. I'll see y'all next time.
But will he start saying no to pussy? I'm just saying multitasking is difficult. Maybe we need to put the dick down. Focus on something over here, and then we can pick the dick back up again, the hand to whomever wants it. I don't know. But I'm sincerely wishing him all the best, and I don't know. Fun dude. Felt kind of special to me, but then again, I'm like a very empathetic, emotional rube, so who knows. A great and private place to share your thoughts about this week's show is in the Champagne Room, our super free, super fun, super sex positive Discord server. Jump into the episode discussion channel and let us know what you thought about the topics we discussed, about Drex, about fuckboy behavior, about anything that this conversation invoked in you. We have a ton of other channels, from cannabis to the book nook, a channel about food, a channel about sex toy recommendations, and we even have a great channel called I Just Had Sex, which is exactly what it sounds like, except this really beautiful share from a longtime passionate pod slut, Elizabeth. And I want to close out the show with what she shared here. Before I do, links to everything in the show notes, okay, everybody? So you want to join us in the Champagne Room? Link in the show notes. You want to join the Patreon? Link in the show notes. All my socials, Drex's socials, show and notes. Go tap and click some things. But now I wanna read something really, really awesome. Elizabeth writes, my husband and I have been happily married for almost 30 years. We have been open, non-monogamous for 4 years. We have young adult children who live with us. It has been a burden to sneak around and try to make up work excuses, friend alibis, etc. when we go out on sexy adventures. We've had to hide our phones from notifications being visible. On Saturday, whenever she wrote this, my husband was meeting a woman from field for the first time. She seemed a little hesitant to meet. Although any future plans would be between the two of them, my husband suggested that the four of us meet together first with her husband. I have an amazing lover, so I'm not looking to meet other folks to play. On our date with them, they asked about our children. They shared with us that it was the most wonderful experience when they finally told their kids about their open marriage. They phrased it this way. We want to respect the intelligence and maturity of our children. Wow. I never thought about it like that. After much conversation with my husband in the car ride home, we decided to tell our kids. I was worried they might have had sneaking suspicions already. I mean, why would I take the phone tripod on a work trip? We'd previously worried that if they suspected something, they might think one of us was cheating on the other. So, last night, we had the talk. My children are hetero cis males, but they understand there are many positive relationship styles. They were amazing and so understanding. My husband was afraid our youngest, 20 years old, would be angry and disappointed. However, neither seemed upset or concerned at all. My oldest, 22, commented that his friends tell him they see such a spark in our relationship. My husband and I are madly in love and very affectionate at home, so they realize that we are not at risk of breaking up. Today, both sons act the same around us. Nothing is awkward or uncomfortable. We shared with them that we are open to any and all questions. At this point, we haven't been asked any questions. I feel lighter not having to be dishonest to my beloved children, especially because I'd expect honesty from them too. Congratulations, Elizabeth, and to your wonderful husband. Stay slutty.